Welcome to the Scottish Watches podcast. We are on location at Watches and Wonders 2022. This is our final day here, but it's not our final podcast recording, but it might just be the best one because we've got somebody who is a podcast virgin, I hear, on line with us today. And we've also got a veteran. We have got Tarath from eBay. How are you doing, sir?
Great, how are you? Well, great to be back again.
Yeah, in person, first time meeting you. It's fantastic. It's amazing how we all travel to different countries to meet each other. You won't come to Scotland, I won't go to America, but here we are in Switzerland. We've also got Dave Sharp.
Hello, I'm still here.
You're still here, unfortunately. And who's the mystery guest? Introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Christina Driggs, and I head up the watch category at eBay.
There we go. And that is a great accent.
That is.
You could do our intros from now on. That's fantastic.
It's like the intro to the blockbuster film, isn't it?
It is.
Coming soon on Scottish Coming Watches. Soon.
Yeah, the trailer girl voice.
I like your intro, though.
Oh, thank you very much. I practiced it 350 times, so we're doing all right. But I hear that you actually listen to the show and you've heard us before.
Yeah. So I am a newbie to podcasts. I'm actually new to this show as well. This is my first time in Switzerland. This is my first time at Watches and Wonders. But I am a veteran at eBay. So I've been at eBay for 18 years and I've been within the watch category for the last 2 years.
Excellent. Okay. And wow. Tarath, for the people that haven't heard your previous shows, give the quick elevator pitch on who you are and what you do.
Yeah, I'm the general manager of luxury. So overseeing jewelry, watches, handbags, accessories. Excited to have joined eBay almost 2 years ago to really focus on what luxury could be, especially in the way the secondary markets are growing. And I've come from the industry before, had my own internet company where we raised $30 million of funding in the space, sold out in 2019. And it's really exciting to be back here in Geneva and at Watches and Wonders and being able to see everyone in person as well as the brand.
Right. Well, let's start as we mean to go on with a wrist check. You've never done this before, so you can go first. What's on the wrist?
I'm wearing the IWC Mark 18. I got this on eBay. And I bought it actually through an auction that we were doing in Art Basel. So we had an artist paint the strap, and I changed the strap out with something that I found on eBay. So I got a good deal. It was actually sold originally through Watchbox. So I thought, you know, this, it kind of looks like a manly size, but I was wondering if it was going to fit my wrist, but I think it works really well. It has a really cool cream silver dial on it. And then a date here, which is April Fool's, that I can see. So we've been having some fun already with, did we get into the show? Did we not? So that was our first prank of the day.
In the background, we should let people know we have Sophie Rindler. She promises to be quiet for the whole hour, which will not happen. And we can't hear her on the audio recording, but she's definitely in the background. Shout hello, Sophie.
And I have to say, you know, you described it as slightly manly. I think it looks awesome. You know, I think, you know, we talk often about male watches, women's watches. Is it a thing? Isn't it a thing? It is a thing, but it shouldn't be a thing. And that sums up to me. I think it'd be fair to describe you. You're dressed in a very feminine manner, but wearing, you know, what is probably arguably a gent's watch. And it just looks awesome. It looks awesome.
I have a tweed dress suit on for people who can't see me in the podcast. And this is so cool to be here in person and to actually look at you while we're having the podcast.
Absolutely.
I hear your voices, but it's really coming to life for me. So, yeah. You know, I'm fangirling a little bit, aren't
I? That's definitely the how to wear a watch properly.
Yeah. Really cool. We'll get a group photograph for the thumbnail before
absolutely.
We leave. We'll
and do Mizzy that. And Mizzy L will be on it. And Mizzy L will be delighted.
With a wrist shot.
Of course. Next, Tarath, what have you got on the wrist for us?
Yeah, no, I got an IWC on as well, similar to Christina. I have a big pilot, actually, and I really like it. It's like beautiful. It's like blue dial, and it's just very classy. And it's a watch that I've actually been looking at for a while. I haven't actually had a watch that has a massive case size as this one. I think it's, what, 46-ish millimeters?
Yeah, 46.
46 at least, if not bigger. But no, I just love it. I love the style. It goes really well with the blue suit on I have on right now. And no, super excited to be back at the show. And Christina, yeah, your watch is really amazing. And guess what? Watches are made for anyone, so anyone can wear anything.
I'll go third. I'm wearing the Orange Tourbillon one. Had this for, Dubai Watch Week I got it for. So that's what, maybe 4 months ago now, 5 months ago?
4 or 5 months, yeah.
And it's getting too much wrist time. All the other watches are really jealous in the watch box. But I thought, coming to Watches and Wonders, what could I wear that other people probably wouldn't have? And this is the one. No one else has got one of these. Everyone keeps coming over. We were actually at Mont Blanc a couple of days ago and we were trying on the different watches. So I took this one off, placed it down. And as I was looking at the Mont Blanc watches, two people walked over, picked my watch up instead of their ones. And we're like, oh, look at this. Look at this. Job done. We actually met Landon from Mirage the other day. He popped over to say hello.
Yep. Showing us the new Super Seed, which is a really cool piece as well.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah. It's launched.
Okay.
Can we talk about that? Well, it's launched. So I assume so.
Well, it's not out yet.
It's not out yet, but it's launched.
It's launched. It's public domain. It was launched out of a window.
It was.
But we got to see the K2 movement in real life, and that is fantastic.
Very cool.
There will be pictures in the show notes.
What we can talk about is a little secret that's coming when the watches are finally delivered that he mentioned.
Okay, right, that's fine. Right, okay, your turn, Dave. What's on the rest?
I have my Moser Streamliner in the green Fume dial, which is... just at the end of the day, it's the best watch ever made. End of story.
Is it?
It is.
I think Sophie in the background's wearing the best watch ever made.
Is she? Yeah.
The Rolex sub.
Oh, yeah, lovely. You managed to get
you
one.
You don't like Rolex.
I don't like Rolex.
I know you don't. That's why I'm wearing it today, on purpose.
On purpose, yeah. Hatred. I can feel it coming my way.
Yeah.
Cool watch, not my thing, but this is very much my thing. 40 millimeters, which is actually quite small for me. I would normally be wearing to that something like you. I wear a bigger watch normally, but... this has convinced me. I don't normally also do bracelets. I'm very much a strap person, a bigger watch than a strap, but I'm wearing a small watch on a bracelet. So it proves that there's always an exception.
I'm not a Rolex person either, but I...
Excellent. I knew I liked you the minute I met you.
I am a little curious on the Southpaw Rolex because you can tell I'm wearing my watch on my right hand. I am a lefty, so I thought that was a really curious choice.
Well, why don't we start talking about that then? What do you think?
It's a good place to start because it's divisive, maybe? I think it would be fair
it's
to say
it's a good
say
place to
divisive.
Start because there's probably going to be quite a few of these ending up on the eBay platform quite soon at different price points. So what did you think of the Rolex releases then, starting with, has it got a name yet? Because I want to call it the Mint Choc Chip.
It's a Destro crowned, I don't know what we're going to call it, but yeah, it's kind of Mint Choc Chippy, isn't it?
So Sophie, she's been doing a poll and her title is The Grinch. We had some votes come through for the Mountain Dew. There's been Sprite.
Oh yeah, Sprite. Sprite. Yeah, it could be.
We'll see what names stick.
What do we think though? How many of you, obviously the Destro Crown sticks out straight away. How many of you though spent quite a lot of time looking and going, there's something not quite right about it until you finally sussed the date out? I looked at it and it was like, yep. And I kept staring at it going, something's not right about this. Nope. Something's not right.
And you can't get your head around it, right? Because you're so used to looking at the crown on the other side. Yeah. And it's like watch looks flip-flopped. Are you sure it's right? Then you read about it a little bit more. When I first saw it, or at least I was like, okay, they finally made a watch for folks who are left-handed. And it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I still find that strange. The date, crown I absolutely get, wearing it, the wrong wrist, if you want to call it that. And I have a few... Destro watches for that very reason with the crown. I get the crown being moved for right or left wristed. The date, not so much.
Well, I explain it to you, Dave.
Explain it to me.
Right, okay.
It was simple.
So if you've got your cuff covering up, it's so you can see the date popping out. So on this side, it's so you can see the date popping out. That's the whole reason for it.
That's a good point.
But then you see, it also depends because I wear a watch on the wrong wrist.
You're
put
strange.
The crown up. Wrist rather than down wrist.
Are you left-handed?
I'm not. I'm right-handed. Oh. And the reason I wear my watch on the wrong wrist is because when I was racing bikes, the crown would dig in to my wrist this way. So I would wear it the wrong way. So the crown was up wrist. So I guess it depends why you wear
They didn't
the watch.
Design it for mountain bike fanatics like you.
What do you mean they didn't design it for me? This is why I don't like Rolex.
This is why you hate Rolex so much. Well, the other releases that came out then that you've seen, what sort of grabbed your attention? From all the brands.
I mean, another one I really liked from Rolex was the Deep Sea. The new Deep Sea, really great, like heavy watch. I love the coloration that they've done. Great, great reinvention of the Deep Sea. And as we spoke before, like a lot of these releases that Rolex have had, and given how hot the market is, almost like a bubble right now, you're barely going to be able to find them in the primary markets or through your authorized retailer, right? So they will end up online. And what's exciting is we're seeing prices go way above retail lately and ends up in places like eBay, right? And that's been a great hotspot for where folks to buy. I think there's some other great watches that have been released too. I think the Tudor Black Bay is pretty interesting. Cool looking watch, very stylish. So it's kind of fun just to walk around, be finally back in person at a show like Watches and Wonders and be able to actually see these releases live.
Yeah, absolutely.
Christina, you have any other favorites that you saw?
Yeah, and so I'm not going to pronounce it as well as Sophie. So I want to hand the microphone over, but I really was impressed with the Vacheron Constantin releases. Ooh. I really liked the gold one, the Cerique 222.
Triple two.
Yeah, and that gold looks, it would look really nice on my wrist. I am really wanting a gold watch right now. So that one caught my eye, but what a price though.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I'm very fair skinned and I always liked the idea of a gold watch. Never did it though, because gold's just not a color that goes against my skin complexion. Until I did get my first gold watch, I can thoroughly recommend buying a gold watch. There's just a bit of a, we'll call it a flex, but there's definitely a bit of a Miami Vice vibe about wearing just a solid gold watch. And that 222, you're right, it's not insignificant in price, shall we say, but it's such a beautiful piece. It's really, for me, like you, one of the highlights of the show for me. Such a faithful re-edition of that 1970s classic. It's such a nice piece.
So what are the highlights for you?
Highlights for me?
Grand Seiko.
To be honest, yeah, you say Grand Seiko. Yeah, I've got a few. The 222, absolutely in gold. I agree, 50,000-ish is a lot of money for what it is, but it's a beautiful watch. The Grand Seiko Constant Source Tourbillon is exceptionally good. It's so left field for what they've done. And actually, from a technical perspective, it is a, what we say in polite parlance, it's a royal see what we can do. There's another phrase we use in Scotland, but we can't use that in the podcast because we're family.
Can we bleep it?
We can bleep it. It's a royal fuck you. But yeah, it's such an amazing piece. And then in Moser, the Vanta Black, I mean, it's not practical in any way, shape or form, but again, it's one of these pieces that you just look at and you go, this is why Moser are Moser. They come up with these ideas that everybody else would just say, no, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, those ones, but you know, like every watch fair, there's thousands of watches that you forget and you see a picture. Oh, I forgot about that. But yeah. What about you, Ricky? What have you seen?
See, you've taken all the good ones now.
Ah, well, that's me.
I like the, obviously, that Grand Seiko that you mentioned, because it doesn't look like a Grand Seiko. Sophie, be nice.
It's very different design language for sure.
You know what? See if they scraped Grand Seiko off it. It would look like an AP.
Or a Vacheron.
That's interesting.
Have you not seen it? No. Sophie doesn't know what we're talking about, but I'll show you. You'll love it, right? You'll absolutely
You will
love it.
Actually love it. It'll be right up
so
your street.
I like that one. And I like the Auris, the Pro Pilot with the slate.
Yeah. The slate grey, the new 39
The Auris new collection is really nice.
That's very, it's very strong. Unfortunately, there's a few also that we were lucky to see that we can't talk about because we'll they're tell all you under in embargo. We'll tell you in June and July and August.
Oh, we saw those yesterday too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but and some of those are obviously really cool. But the Pro Pilot X,
yeah.
I think a lot of folk loved the original 10-day when it came out aesthetically, but at 46 mil, a lot of folk were like, yeah, it's a bit big. And the skeleton dial is very love and hate. And this suddenly 39 mil, some cool colours, like the kind of salmon is really nice, actually. And I would wear that.
Salmon's nice.
The blue, I felt in the pictures that I saw earlier, was very neutral and boring.
Quite
but
muted.
Actually, in real life, it's really nice.
I think the green is nice
and
too.
The grey, though, is the one. The grey is super cool. And a 39 mil, it's also not quite, but almost half the price point of the original with that new Calibre 400 in it, which is, I'm sure, like lots of us, we buy watches. That's got a 10-year warranty on that watch. So I'm sure there's
years.
A few people will pick that one up in a couple of years.
Good
might
price
be
points.
Selling it on, maybe on eBay, to buy their next watch. So maybe in a few years, that's a watch to keep an eye out for. If it's maybe a bit above your price point at this point in time, I'm sure in a few years, that will be a great pickup on eBay.
And they gave us the best swag.
Oh,
we got teddy bear tops.
The teddy bear sweaters.
So we're heading off to the local Ralph Lauren Polo place. We'll just juke in. Hey guys, what's happening?
Hey guys, this is a teddy bear.
Yeah, I love their teddy bear mascot.
Some shorts on with that. Yeah.
Right, well anyway, can we stop talking about Watches and Wonders and talk about eBay?
Let's talk about
eBay.
Is
that a good idea? It's been a while since you've been on the show for a full episode. You've been on for a sponsor segment.
Yeah.
You've chatted about some things, but you don't stay still. There's always a change. There's a new division, a new development.
Right.
It was handbags. It was collectibles. It was sneakers. What's the latest? What's been happening in the last sort of quarter year?
That's the great thing about eBay now, having a dedicated team that's focused on watches, right? End to end, dedicated marketers, dedicated product engineering folks. We just launched not even too long ago, just a month ago, expert verification. What that is remember, our authentication guarantee program was for watches $2,000 and above. So all watches that are $2,000 and above go through an expert check to ensure you're getting the real thing, that you're getting all the collateral and everything that was described with that listing. But with expert verification, you can now do the same thing for $1,000 to $2,000 for $80, right? So and that's a peace of mind, right? Being able to know that you're getting a watch that's going to run the way it should run, and you're getting it exactly as described, and you're getting that certificate, that authenticity guarantee card that has a NFC chip that you can actually go see the digital version of it. And it's been successful so far. We're seeing growth of it over the past few weeks since launch. And we look forward to having even more programs like this across our categories.
All right, well, let's talk about that for a minute, because that is new. And it was something I'd thought about, because when it's $2,000, or in the UK, it's £2,000 and above, what's to stop someone putting something through at $1,999? Just to slip under there. So now that you're offering that, that's a fantastic peace of mind for somebody that is spending less than $2,000. And lots of people, when they're first buying a watch, something over $2,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
If they've never had a watch before, $300 is a lot of money.
Even $1,000 is a lot of money, right?
$1,000 is a lot of money when you lose
and
it.
And paying $80 for you have a full end-to-end check of something that's $1,000 is completely worth it, right? Especially when you get that card and then, hey, okay, great, let me go insure my watch. You know, can I go get extended warranty from it from somewhere? Like, there's a lot of opportunities, especially when you've gotten it verified.
Absolutely. And I think an interesting point is, I know, we, you know, we've talked about this a lot, and obviously from a buyer's perspective, there's a lot of, you know, insecurities here, but there's also a lot of protection for sellers in here as well, because, you know, you've got that two-way authentication check. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes a purchase goes through and for whatever reason, it's not right for the person, etc. And it comes back. And this gives that very much that two-way. So if you're thinking about selling on the platform as well, you've got those securities for yourself as
the
well.
The security for the 1,000 and 2,000 is amazing. Now, because it wasn't like, now sellers know that it's going to go through a check, but if somebody returns the watch, it's going through that same check.
Yeah.
So the seller has to get the same thing back. And if not, eBay is protecting you.
Absolutely.
You don't have to worry about it. You're keeping your money. We will take care of it. And that's been amazing.
For the listeners that maybe didn't catch your other episodes, can you give us the sort of start to finish way that this works? If somebody goes to sell a watch, what is the process?
Absolutely. Christina, you want to take that one? You're like the expert.
Sure. It's so easy. So you just basically list the watch and we figure it out for you. So if you list it in the right category and you list it at the right price point, then it's going to go through authenticity guarantee. And it doesn't actually work that way in all of the categories. So in handbags, it's for specific brands that we check for, and also with sneakers, but with watches at a certain price point, then we check all of those watches. So you just list it on eBay and then wait for the sale to happen. And what the customer sees is the authenticity guarantee check mark. And when they go through checkout, they can click on a link and learn more and look at the terms and conditions and all of that. But if it qualifies for the program, it will show up. We have some of our import markets that show up. So a lot of watches come in from Japan, so those will qualify. But not all marketplaces will have the authenticity guarantee mark. So just make sure you look for that when you're checking out through eBay. And then the seller gets a notification. So it's very easy for them. They see in their email and also in the view order details where they should ship the item. And that's going to go to our partner Stoll & Co. So they need to ship it out as quickly as possible. And then they'll look at the inventory, they'll inspect it. A lot of what they do is not only an authenticity guarantee check, but they also look to make sure that it matches the item description. They'll make sure that it has the box, the papers, whatever is stated in the listing. They want to ensure that it comes with all of the collateral that it says it was going to come with. But also, if it says it's new, they want to make sure there aren't scratches on the watch. So that's also some peace of mind that it gives to the customer, that not only is it authentic, but it's in the condition that it was stated. So it gets forwarded on to the customer. They're hopefully happy. But if they're not, or if they just decided they don't want the watch anymore, they can return it. And then the seller just feels comfortable that they're going to get the watch back in the condition that it was sold.
Perfect. Yeah, that explains a lot, because it's easy to read guarantee, but without knowing the process of it. And we have people emailing in asking us questions, and we don't work for eBay. All we can do is kind of pass them to Sophie, pass them to Rath, yourself. So it's great that you've explained the whole process and how simple it is. And then I take it then on the return, if somebody is returning a watch because perhaps it's not what they wanted, it goes through that same stringent process. They've returned the right amount of stuff. It's not a rock in a box. All those kinds
of things.
Absolutely.
It goes through a full check. Make sure it was in the box. I mean, not too long ago, we caught an empty box that was missing a gold Rolex and fully protected the seller, right? I mean, these are the type of things that are very important, especially when you're selling expensive goods on the internet. You would be afraid, like I'm going to go sell this expensive $50,000 watch. Am I going to know I'm going to get to keep my money? I'm not going to get a chargeback. And if a return happens, because I'm okay with returns because I want to make sure the customer's happy, am I actually going to get that watch back and the same watch and not damage? all those things are checked for under return leg, and we fully protect that that seller from things like chargeback and other types of situations. It's a peace of mind selling high-end goods now.
We'll wait for the Roger DeBuy stand to stop playing some music.
It's like a volcano going off.
That's been a really cool part of being at the show, is not only seeing the product, but seeing the booths and all of the...
creativity, isn't
yeah,
it?
Exactly, the extravagance. The art around it.
It's funny,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
Some of them are very corporately clinical, and some are just... someone's gone to town, spend all the marketing budget in a week. But it's
amazing. I sat in on a presentation with Roger DeBuy yesterday for no apparent reason, apart from I clicked the wrong box when I was booking all my appointments. And I sat there and they were explaining about how they produce the watches and all the rest of it. And they said that their customers don't use watches to tell the time. They don't care about telling the time. They just want something that looks cool on the wrist. And then they turned around and said, and I don't know why we're actually telling you any of this, because they're all sold anyway.
I mean, everyone's talking like it, right? I mean, honestly speaking, I don't use my watch to tell the time. It's more on the story, right? Like, what's the story around the watch? Do I like the look and feel? I use my iPhone to tell my time.
That's funny, Olaf. I've just done exactly that, because sadly I have to nip out of this recording soon. And I have a watch on both wrists, and I just picked my phone up to see what time it was. So that kind of tells you everything you need to know.
I mean, watch is an art piece, right, at the end of the day. And, and you wear it for, like, the story that could resonate with you. And that's one of the big reasons I buy watches.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting, because obviously watches for probably at least two generations of people weren't even a thing. They had gone because phones and technology told the time. So the industry tried to bring watches back by telling people you need a watch to tell the time was never going to work. No. So bringing it back as art form, and that can be as extreme as MB&F or Van Cleef or any of these, you know, high horology brands.
Talker.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, to be fair, yes, at a very different price point, but a Talker is. It's got that artistic flair. It's got those different cases. It's, you know, it's a statement piece.
Yeah.
It's more than just a utilitarian bit of metal that tells the time. You know, and you mentioned with yours about the strap, you know, a big part of it was the strap being painted, etc. as well.
Yeah. So. I mean, think about it. A place like eBay is a place of sell. Like, we believe we sell stories, not just products, right? And because every watch, like the pre-owned watch market, it's been through a different journey. It has a brand story around it. And we become a place where 147 million active buyers come and experience those stories. I mean, I think a key reason of like what's going on in the secondary marketplaces like eBay have become a barometer of pricing as well as storytelling and what's going on in the secondary market, which is really interesting for a show with like this, right? Everything you're seeing here is all the stories are going to come on eBay and be told via eBay.
Well, we've received a lot of press over the Moon Swatch recently. So we've been the barometer for sales of that watch recently. We've seen quite a lot of articles that say, you know, it's sold on eBay for this amount, and you know, it's starting to level. I you know read this morning of how prices are already starting to level out, but they're using eBay to tell those numbers.
Yeah, but let's be honest, eBay is, you know, is a barometer of many of these things, because you know, you are absolutely the main platform for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You're one of the most established platforms as well, and with things like you're doing with these authenticity guarantees, you're becoming the safe stalwart of pre-owned product now, because there are, of course, we'll not go there.
The sheriffs of the Wild West.
Yeah, because, you know, let's be honest, yeah, we say that, but the pre-owned market can be the Wild West if there's not checks and balances there. And by doing programs like you have done,
absolutely,
that really gives that security, and it brings it more in parity with what people are used to, the high street, you know, the big brand selling directly, and it brings it up to that kind of
and we've brought
level.
It to other markets, right? We have now launched it officially in the United Kingdom. We have launched it in Germany. We look to expand this more and more, both within those markets and other markets as well. And because eBay is a global marketplace, not just an American marketplace, right?
How's it been within the UK? Because we were quite big on telling all the listeners, because we've got a big split, 40% American, 40% UK, then rest of the world. And all the British people were like, yeah, but how come in America they're protected and we aren't? You brought it to the UK. How's it been received?
It's been received well. Look, it is early days in the UK. We are growing it in the UK market. We have a phenomenal facility in Richmond. And in the UK. And so, yeah, that market is growing for us. The German market is growing for us as well. Sellers are getting the same, all those protections that we just spoke about. The buyers are now getting the authenticity guarantee card with that digital experience. So it's been great. But still, look, we're going to keep building experience in those markets and across the globe.
Well, I'll tell you something else that's great. Dave's about to leave.
I am. you'll all be delighted to hear. Unfortunately, yeah. I have to run out.
You know what we're going to do? Okay. We're going to take your microphone. We're going to give it to Sophie.
Sophie's going to be stunt Dave for the rest of the day.
Stand in.
Yeah. We'll say slightly more attractive. Well, I say significantly more attractive. Yeah.
Will you speak in his accent then too?
You'll try.
She will
please,
try.
Please do. I will say au revoir.
Well, I'm glad he's gone. Right, we can talk about him now. Right, Sophie, you've now got a microphone, so you can tell us about your wrist check, because that's the first thing we obviously get to deal with.
Mine is the boring Submariner, but I love it. It's my to-go watch, because it can take anything, and it's just an easy wear for me. Yeah. I'm not worried about hurting it or...
You don't have to baby it.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, and I just like the look, you know, I like the bulky look, I like the size. However, I did see something at the show that I really liked, and I was very surprised. It is the Trilobe. Did you see that?
Oh, is that the one that's got, like,
yes.
roulette wheels?
It has three circles that are held with we call that feet in French, onto the dial, and each circle is indicating the hour, the minutes, and the seconds. And it's very cool. It's such an incredible design. And it's funny because as I was there, François-Paul Journe showed up and started talking to the founder of the brand and taking high interest in it. So it gave me even more confidence that this brand is going to be growing. I think we're going to hear about it a lot more. Because when you have someone like F.P. Journe that takes the time to go to the booth and spend time with the owner and complimenting him on the achievement of that design and the technical part of it as well, because they circle in different ways. It's really cool. You should go check it out.
I will.
The Carré des Indépendants.
Yeah, I will check that one out. I've seen the press release, but obviously not seen it in real life just yet.
Yeah, they didn't win the GP. They were one of the candidates. I think they did make it to the second round, but they didn't win. I get the feeling that this brand is going to grow.
Yeah. Do you know the price point of that one?
No, I don't.
I don't think it's super expensive either.
No, I do. I think it was in the 25. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not cheap.
But for the complication.
20,000-25,000. But the work is really very interesting. It's so original.
Perfect. Right. And what have you been up to then? Because it's been a few months you were last on the show.
Look, you know, we've been working very hard. As Tirath and Christina told you, we're really aiming to become a destination for pre-owned luxury. It's not just about browsing anymore. It's actually going to eBay because you're looking for something.
The question was, what have you been up to?
I've been up to this. I've been eBaying a lot. You know, it's been an incredible experience for me. I learned a lot. It's a big company. You know, I've never worked in such a big company. But what's interesting, it's a big company. The way it's structured in watches, it's almost like a little family that we created around the category. We are all very close. We work beautifully together. There is a very strong team spirit. There is also a willingness to make it work, to make it happen. There's a lot of passion. Christina is new to watches. She became a watch nerd. Look at her.
Rocking IWC.
She's been learning so much, and we've all learned from each other at different levels. You know, I contributed to helping her learn about watches. She helped me learn about eBay. Building decks.
Yes, I think watches is a lot more fun than building decks. But, you know, listening to Scottish watches has helped a lot as well. There's so much to learn in this industry. It's absolutely been amazing. And I've worked in a lot of different categories at eBay within the fashion realm, but there's been none with the amount of information to absorb as this one.
Yeah, it's not just information. It's really a passion, right? The watches, people who buy and love watches, they don't do it just because. You have to be knowledgeable. You have to be interested in that product. It's not a nothing product. It is meaningful.
Yeah, you wouldn't have somebody buying a handbag or sneakers wanting to know which farm the leather came from. Probably not as much as watch nerds.
No. There is an interest that is deeper for watches. But what's also very interesting and that has been extremely satisfying by, you know, being part of that team is the change in perception that eBay has been experiencing. So it really started with the US. And I know in Europe, eBay is still being perceived a little bit as a cheap platform, because people don't understand that eBay does not buy and sell. eBay is in between the buyer and the seller. And what happens is that eBay has helped businesses become successful because they were on eBay. So what is funny is that when we talk to brands and to other players, they're like, yeah, I don't know if I want to be on eBay because for whatever reasons. And then they realize when we tell them, look, by being on eBay, you're going to build your business. You're going to brand your company. You're going to have the reach that we can give you. It's going to be a success story. People have put their kids through college because they started selling on eBay. So there are so many stories that I learned. You know, I didn't know all of this before I joined eBay. And I realized and I saw testimonials because, you know, we're very customer oriented at eBay. It's very important. Customer satisfaction is a massive undertaking. So by listening to people and testimonials and seeing how much eBay has helped families, especially during the pandemic, when they lost their jobs and they went on eBay and they started building their eBay store and started selling their closets and slowly building it into something much more important than just emptying their drawers by actually creating a business. And they went through the pandemic and decided to stay. And they just went another direction. They reinvented themselves because they were on eBay. So I just look at this company as something that is much bigger than just a platform or a marketplace. I think it's a company that can change the world in a very significant way. Mm-hmm. And I believe that the perception that eBay has been working on and what we've been doing is now coming through and people are realizing it. And the way that we are interacting with bigger players is different. They're listening to us to what we're saying in a very much more interested way, and they're actually looking at us in without the same microscope where they were trying to see everything that is wrong about eBay, but they're actually looking at it as in a different way, more, okay, I guess you are relevant.
Yeah.
And maybe you can help us.
It's very difficult to change someone's mind once they've fixated in on what they believe. And it's like different industries. When somebody is introduced to an idea, it sticks with them and it never changes over 5-10 years. So people are probably thinking, I used eBay 15 years ago, but it's a different product, it's a different company, different set of, as you've explained, different areas where people are covered in lots of different ways. And the fact that you keep changing and adding things on, you didn't need to.
Well, we invested heavily into safety and trust, right? That was around authenticity. Well, now we're also investing heavily into the partnerships we're doing around social content, partnering up with Trae Young, the famous all-star basketball player. And what we did with like content series like Old School Meets New School, where we got Iris Epfelin, a famous hip hop artist, together to just discuss their love for watches and their collections, or the eBay Sellers Club, where we did a great content series around our sellers and an expert vintage person. And all this is coming out in social media and in marketing out there. And that's huge, because eBay's never invested in that, these type of things before. We have a dedicated Instagram handle, eBay Watches, right now, right? And we focus only on of core content that's really focused on the watch industry and different Instagram lives that we do with many partners. So it's a different eBay, and I think this is just even a start to even a lot more we're going to be doing.
No, I would fully agree. And we're speaking to people all the time that we're scared of using different platforms, right? Private sales. We've had the police on. I may have mentioned that to you one of the last times, the people that actually help folks when they've been defrauded in real life, they've been robbed in real life.
Yeah.
They suggested using eBay and platforms like that because it's safer than meeting in a car park or wherever.
Yeah.
And watch crime is rife just now. There was warnings, probably shouldn't say this, but at the show today, there were warnings passed around saying, if you have a pass that says you're an exhibitor, a guest, a press, hide it in your pocket unless you're inside, because there are people around looking for that will follow you. There were some stories that were told earlier today. People will follow people for a couple of hours to take watches from them, and it's a very bad world out there, and we don't want people getting ripped off, robbed, or worse.
Yeah, no, it's getting it's a very different world nowadays, and we're seeing that everywhere, right? Even with, because the pricing of the watches have just inflated. Like, watches keep going up across the board, and you're seeing that with global supply chain. And yeah, you just have to be careful and be safe.
Well, I know there's probably embargoes and NDAs and things, but is there anything that you can let our listeners know that might be coming down the line in the near future?
We have a lot going on. Look, in the luxury categories, we've done a lot with handbags and watches. We're not done there yet, right? There are going to be other things that we look into and further expansions, both in categories as well as globally. So look forward to the summer. We have some interesting things coming up this summer, and we're really excited about that.
Okay, you're playing your cards quite close to your chest. Is anyone else going to give me some information?
I'll give you a preview of we've been doing some in-person events. So we were just in LA last week. So Sophie's been busy. She's been traveling all over the place. She's been at Maurice Lacroix launch parties. And
we did in Miami.
We sent her over to LA and we did an Oscar, a gifting suite there where we gifted authenticity guarantee items. So a lot of celebrities came through. But we also had an in-person watch collector event. So we met with sellers and buyers, and we had a lot of the Red Bar community come out, and we connected with them, and we talked about watches, and it was just a great way for us to meet in person, and a lot of them were just happy to be meeting with their fellow watch enthusiasts after, you know, 2 years of not doing so and just talking about watches and celebrating. It was a really good time. So we want to do more of that. We want to go into other cities and connect with people. We are going to be at some shows coming up here. We're going to, you know, walk the watch shows. We're here at Watches Wonders. We'll be at Watch Time. We're going to be at the Antique Show. We were at the Antique Show this year. So we're showing up and we're connecting with a lot of people in person. So I'd say that's something to look out for, is where are we going to be? What city are we going to be in? And let's meet up and talk. Sophie said, we want to help your business. We want to help grow people's presence on eBay. And we also want to just provide the widest selection of watches in the world and connect the collector with sellers and say, we're looking for this product. What do you have?
Sounds good. And is there any likelihood you'll be doing anything in the UK?
We have plans to do, actually, well, you know, our team's going to be in UK actually in a couple of weeks from now. I'll be there as Christina, Sophie as well. We'll be doing a lot of great sessions with our UK team, German teams. And what we're really aiming to do is build something globally. And yes, a lot of things you've seen in the US, we look forward to bringing them into the UK as well.
Looking forward to that, because I've seen Sophie on Instagram posting up stories. She's here, there, she's everywhere. We chat on WhatsApp all the time and it's like, oh, I'm in Miami, I'm at a party, and then I phone her and I can't hear her because it's so busy. And like you say, being able to meet up in person, this is the first proper watch event in Switzerland that I've been to in 3 years. Mm-hmm. And walking along and spotting somebody that you only recognize from a screen, but you see them in real life, it's different. It brings back all that emotion that's been missing. Mm-hmm. It's good being virtual, but it's even better in real life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by far, absolutely. I mean, it's the first time you and I met in person.
Yeah, and that's what, over 3 years we've been talking.
Wow. Four?
Nearly 4 years, yeah. Because, there's a story. Before Scottish Watches happened, I messaged you on Facebook because I was coming to Basel and you ignored my message.
I did?
You did, yeah. That was in 2018.
That's not like me. I don't ignore messages. That's weird. Maybe I didn't get it on time because I never ignore. It did. Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
Leaving me on red, Sophie. I mean, what's going on here?
Ouch.
Well, here we are. You know, she's a busy person.
I waited 4 years to pull you up for it live on a show.
Well,
but it's okay. You're forgiven.
Here we are.
You're forgiven. Here we are. And even this morning, I was waiting at the bus stop, waiting for the shuttle to take us from the hotel to the PAL Expo Center. And I saw this person coming over and standing adjacent. And I thought, is that? And then she came over and it was Sophie. So we shared a bus ride to the show itself today. And
we had our intimate moment today, Ricky.
We had our intimate moment today, yes. In real life. It's amazing to catch up with all you guys in person. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for more events like this. And if there's things that you're going to be incorporating, bringing across to the UK, Europe, across the world, definitely let us know because our listeners want to find out about it. And if they do want to find out about it, where's the best place to see which cities you're going to be hitting next?
I'd say check out the Instagram channel. So when we posted about the eBay watch group on our social channel, we did a poll asking people where they wanted us to meet up. We got a lot of Hawaii recommendations, and I think that's just because people want to fly out to Hawaii. So we'll just check there. We'll publish.
At eBay Watches, follow it and check it out, and we publish a lot there.
Excellent. No, awesome. Austin, thank you for spending the time. I know you're super busy. I know you had a little bit of trouble getting in today. Should we tell people what happened there? You guys played a practical joke on Sophie and then karma came a knocking.
No.
What did you do to her?
Come on, it's April Fool's, right? We told Sophie that, hey, I think our badges are expired. But technically what happened is Christina and myself and Sophie, we were invited by two different brands here. The show activated the brand and had a one-day pass versus the five-day one. So we just had to go to the front and get the five-day one reactivated, and we got right back in. So,
but the one for me was activated was the whole one. So I actually got in when they told me that we wouldn't, and they are the ones that got held up.
The funny part is we played a joke on Sophie, and then it was like kind of like, unintentionally, she played it right back to us. So it's all fun and games. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
Yeah,
happy.
What really happened was when Sophie was stood with me, she was speaking to security saying to deactivate your badges just to get you back.
Look, that was a great comeback, Sophie. So appreciate the joke.
Yes.
This is the best part of our team. You know, we work really hard together, but we have a lot of fun together at the same time.
We do.
And that's the way it should be. Well, listen, thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Ricky.
Thank you so much.
No problem at all. And look forward to finding out more about what you guys are doing, not just in the UK, not just in Europe, but across the world.
Totally.
Because you're a global brand. We've got a global audience and watch collectors and enthusiasts. It doesn't matter where they stay. We all share the same love and the same passion.
Absolutely.
So thanks a lot. So thanks for listening to the show, guys. We're out Mondays and Thursdays. You can follow us on Instagram at Scottish Watches. If you've got ideas, thoughts, feedback, or comments, info@ScottishWatches is a place to send them. And check us out online, www.scottishwatches.co.uk. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you guys again soon.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Thanks.